Okay, Seinfeld. I came across this newarena.com where they ranked the 25 best Seinfeld episodes of all time. I've not really looked at it, but I'm going to go through this list. We'll discuss them, and I want to hear from all the Seinfeld fans out there. What's your favorite Seinfeld episode? What's your favorite Seinfeld moment? And then we'll find out whether or not we agree with this list of the 25 best Seinfeld episodes of all time. And our phone number and text number for Seinfeld Talk is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Show was on for 9 seasons. There were 180 episodes. So to whittle it down to 25 seems about right, I guess. And I don't know if people remember this. Esmeralda, I don't know if you remember this or not, but the show was a bomb when it first came on.
Oh, yeah?
Nobody watched it when it first came on. And it debuted in the summer. It was like a summer replacement in 1989. It debuted. July 5th, 1989 was the first episode. And it was called, at that time, it was called The Seinfeld Chronicles. That's when the pilot aired. And it got nothing. Nobody watched it. And it didn't get any kind of acclaim. And then it came back almost a year later, at the end of May of 1990. And that's when it became like a regular series. But again, it was only on a short time. It was a summer replacement. They only had 4 episodes. So they only aired 4 episodes in the summer of 90. And then officially it came back in the beginning of 1991, January of 1991, and that was officially season 2. So at first it didn't, and in fact, nobody was watching the show until around season 4. The show was on for 9 seasons, and it was right around season 4 when it started to pick up. And started to really get viewership. And then, of course, we all know that, you know, for like 5 seasons straight, it was in the top 3. It was part of the must-see TV thing on Thursday nights with NBC. What was the other must-see? It was Friends, right? Seinfeld, ER. Were those were the must-see TV ones, Esmeralda? Do you remember?
I believe so,
It was Friends? I should know because I created Friends. But it was Friends and Seinfeld and ER. Was Cheers on that? At first, it was Cheers. Cheers was on.
Cheers was Mad About You part of that.
Mad About You, I think, yeah. There was that stretch when NBC had the... I guess if you Google must-see TV from the 90s, I guess the lineup will pop up. But I know ER, Seinfeld, and Friends were huge. Oh, Will and Grace a Thursday night show as well?
At some point,
yeah.
It might have been.
But the whole must-see TV started with Cheers. That's how it all started. Because like Cheers, and then Cheers eventually was gone because Cheers went off the air in 93. So the very first part of that whole must-see TV slogan was I think built around Cheers.
So in the 80s, back then it was referred to the best night of television on television. That lineup was The Cosby Show, A Different World, Cheers, into Night Court and then various other things. Must-see TV, first year featured Mad About You, Wings, Seinfeld, and Frasier.
Oh, Wings. I always forget about Wings. Remember, Dan, you remember when USA showed nothing but Wings?
Yes, that's all they showed.
It was like 14-hour marathons every day of Wings.
Yep.
Hey, God bless. That's where Thomas Hayden Church came from. So, what were you going to say now?
Yeah,
what else?
So, Friends debuted in 95 as part of it. And then, so there was the single guy.
Oh, boy.
What's his name?
Jonathan Gold. He was in the I'm a Dead Guy, but
yeah,
I'm Not
Bernie's.
Dead.
Yeah.
The Weekend at Bernie's, he was
Jonathan
in that.
Silverman.
Silverman, yeah.
Seinfeld, and then Into Caroline in the City.
Ah, yes. So. Was that Leah Thompson?
Yes.
God, Esmeralda, do you remember Caroline in the City?
Yeah, I used to watch that.
Hey, where's News Radio in all of this? Was News Radio not on Thursdays?
I think it might have been towards the tail end of its run.
Because that show ruled News Radio.
So it looks like the other ones, Frasier, Just Shoot Me, Will and Grace was in there for a little bit, Scrubs at one point, Veronica's Closet, Suddenly Susan.
Those were all pretty late, though. Especially Scrubs had to be pretty late in the must-see TV.
2002.
Yeah. But, yeah. Esmeralda, you like News Radio, right?
Yeah, I loved it.
Oh, my God, I love that show. God bless Phil Hartman. Man. Dave Foley, what are we talking about? That show, Stephen Root, that show ruled. Andy Dick, your schoolmate, Esmeralda.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. All right, we've got some texts from the Seinfeld fans. Now, Esmeralda, not a big Seinfeld fan.
Yeah.
All right.
Not
and
really.
Dan, not a big Seinfeld fan.
Correct.
All right. This conversation is going to be just me then and any of the listeners who come in. Steve in Pennsylvania says, my favorite episode was what they refer to it as the stinky car episode. Yes. The smelly car. Very, very funny episode. Hey, Nick, my all-time favorite episode is The Hamptons. That is a great episode, which comes in at number 24 on this list of the 25 best Seinfeld episodes, and I think that's too low. I think The Hamptons is a great one. Just to remind you, The Hamptons episode is where the gang goes to the Hamptons to see a baby, which turns out to be ugly, with the ugly baby. Kramer finds a ton of lobster, unaware that he's stealing from a fisherman's trap. He was lobster poaching. George's girlfriend goes tanning topless. By the way, George's girlfriend played by Melora Walters, who was Claudia in Magnolia, one of my favorite characters in the history of film. She plays George's girlfriend who goes tanning topless. Jerry's girlfriend walks in on George after he's changing from his swimsuit, and he screams, I was in the pool. I was in the pool because he suffered shrinkage. All of that is in that one episode. And it's a great one. One of my favorite moments in the Hamptons is the reaction of everybody who sees the baby. The best being Kramer. They're having they bring the baby out when they're having breakfast in the morning, or they're having food in the morning, and they bring the baby out, and Kramer, and when he sees the baby. So the Hamptons, a great episode. 763 episode. My favorite Seinfeld is the one with Poppy when he peed on the sofa. And then George. Okay, so Poppy pees on the sofa, and it's his brand new. It's Jerry's brand new sofa. Poppy, the guy who owns the restaurant who doesn't wash his hands after going to the bathroom, pees on Jerry's sofa, and then he ends up selling it to George. George buys it. George just turned the cushion upside down. And then he had his dad sleep on the couch. He had Jerry Stiller sleep on the couch. You had me sleep on a pee-stained sofa? Very funny. Doug in Kansas City said, one of my favorite George quotes of all time, do you ever get on your knees and thank God that you know me and have access to my dementia? One of the best lines ever. And Costanza's the best character on Seinfeld. He's my favorite character on Seinfeld. He's one of my favorite characters in the history of television, George Costanza. And Jason Alexander is brilliant. But as the show went on, as I've talked about this before, as the show went on, they turned George into a raving lunatic. During the last season, there was a real drop in quality in the last season and a half because Larry David left the show. When Larry David left the show, because he pretty much, would oversee every single episode while he was there. And he left the show, and you can tell there was a dip in quality. It wasn't bad, and there were certain episodes in the later seasons that were really great, but it just wasn't consistently good, and they just let a lot of the characters get out of hand, especially Costanza. My least favorite Seinfeld episode of all time is where they go, it's called The Dealership. Where they go, Jerry's interested in buying a car. Putty's a car salesman now. George is hungry. Someone steals his Kit Kat out of the vending machine, and he goes nuts. It's my least favorite episode ever, and most of it has to do with George's behavior. And I have you guys, 312-981-7200. George's, Costanza's behavior in the Dealership episode is raving lunacy. And it makes me nuts every time I see the episode. And I've seen it. And the weird thing is, if it comes on, I watch it because it's Seinfeld. And whenever Seinfeld is on, I watch it. So, all right, we'll get back into this list here of the best Seinfeld episodes of all time. What are your favorite moments and your favorite episodes? 312-981-7200. We got a break here for weather and traffic.
Shave every day and you'll always look keen.
Yeah. It is Wildcard Wednesday. You're here, Wildcard Wednesday. Jim in Carbondale requested Benny Bell with shaving cream. And I don't know if this is going to come to as a surprise to anyone. Shaving Cream there. That's one of my dad's favorite songs of all time. I remember him playing it when I was a kid. I was a little kid. He would play it, and just every time, every single time you thought he was going to say the word and he says shaving cream, my dad laughed out loud. Every time. Every time. Dan, you know who used to play that song all the time?
I have a guess.
Dr. Demento.
Dr. Demento.
Yeah. Always in the Funny Five. Time for the Funny Five. Okay. Hey, speaking of funny, we're talking about Seinfeld. New Arena ranked the 25 best Seinfeld episodes of all time. Let's go through some of these, shall we? Number 25 on the list is The Junior Mint, which is season 4, episode 20. Jerry cannot remember the name of the girl he's dating. He tries to find out and sneaks into her purse. She jokes that her name rhymes with a part of the female anatomy, and he calls her Mulva. Elaine visits her fat ex-boyfriend, who is now skinny, and attempts to get back together with him, though she had convinced Jerry to go with her to pretend that he was her boyfriend. Kramer and Jerry are permitted to watch a surgery, and Kramer ends up dropping a Junior Mint inside the patient, which happens to be Elaine's ex-boyfriend. That's a great episode. The Junior Mint's a great episode. A couple of things about that episode. The guy who plays her boyfriend, who lost all the weight, who was having an operation on his spleen, that's the actor who played the greatest zombie in the history of zombie movies. He played Bub in Day of the Dead, who, if you talk to George Romero fans or zombie movie fans, is widely considered to be the greatest zombie in film history. So that's Bub. And the other thing about this, I don't know if you remember this, Dan, but when this show aired, a guy at work, this is a real news story, a guy at his job got in trouble with HR because he was telling a girl about the plot of the show, specifically the part where the character's name rhymed with a part of the female anatomy. And I remember that. I don't remember the details of it exactly, but I think there was some sort of suit filed. I know there was a complaint in HR that he got in trouble because he was talking about this, joking about it. And by the way, her name he remembers is Dolores. If you remember the name, you remember her name, right? So her name ends up being Dolores, and you know, it's a very funny episode. Junior Mint's a great episode. 24, as we mentioned, is The Hamptons, season 5, episode 21. 23, The Bubble Boy. I mean, what can you say about this episode? Season 4, episode 7. Jerry, Elaine, and George and Susan travel upstate to Susan's family's lake house. While there, Jerry and Elaine meet a man who tells the story of how his son is Jerry's biggest fan and he's confined to a bubble because of an illness. Elaine forces Jerry to go and visit him. Jerry gets lost on the way. George and Susan get there and play Trivial Pursuit with the Bubble Boy while they wait. That's also a great episode. They got the detail wrong here, though. I have to correct this, Dan. It says they travel up to Susan's family's lake house. While there, Jerry and Elaine meet a man who tells the story of their son and their illness. They don't meet him up there. They meet him at Monk's. He's in the coffee shop. Brian Doyle Murray, by the way, plays the Bubble Boy's father. They're not upstate. They're at Monk's when they meet him. That's why they convinced to go to the house on their way up. So they got to get their little details. They're going to continue to make mistakes like this. I'm just going to get angry. Brian Doyle Murray. Of course, the moment from that one. Dan, have you ever seen the Bubble Boy episode?
I believe I do know this one. It's the Moops.
Moops. The Moops. I'm sorry. It's the Moops. He watches a lot of TV. Oh, really? Is the remote inside there with him? Yeah. That's got to be really frustrating. It is. It's very frustrating. You can't get in there because the Bubble Boy's got the remote. Show rules. All right. Let's see. Here is Steve on WGN. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
How about the Soup Nazi?
Soup Nazi is way up high on the list here, and it should be because that's a classic episode. Where is the Soup Nazi? Soup Nazi is number 5.
And then how about the one where George does everything backwards?
Well, that's the opposite. The opposite, that to me, Steve, yeah. That's the best episode of Seinfeld ever, is the opposite.
Yeah, that was a good one.
It's the best episode ever, and it comes in way too low on this list. The opposite comes in at 18. That's way too low.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to look, even if you're not going to make it number one, it should be in the top five without question. So, yeah, those are both great ones. Soup Nazi and The Opposite. Thanks, Steve.
Okay.
The Opposite is by far my favorite episode. And everything in that episode is brilliant. Everything. And it's an episode about Costanza. Because whenever the main storyline, because everybody gets a little through line, all the characters get a little something in each episode. But whenever the main story of a Seinfeld episode concerns George Costanza, it's always brilliant. And The Opposite is the best. It's my favorite episode of all time. And I can give you all the details on that when we get to it on this list. And again, should be higher. Number 18. Wrong. All right. We got a break. We'll come back. We got the news coming up. And then more Seinfeld. 312-981-7200. What the hell is going on?
I dreamed my love.
What in God's name? It's Wild Card Wednesday, as you can tell. Yeah. Who the hell requested this? Dan. 218 area code. Evidently, this is from the video game Assassin's Creed 4, and it's Lowlands. Esmeralda, are you familiar with Assassin's Creed 4?
I'm familiar with that franchise, yeah.
Are you familiar with this song that we're listening to?
No, I haven't played the game.
Oh, okay. Dan, you? Do you understand what's happening right now? Because I'm a little scared.
Apparently, it's featured in the movie Moby Dick as well, so it must be a sea shanty of some sort.
Okay. Oh, all right. That was weird. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're talking Seinfeld. What are your favorite moments, your favorite episodes? I got a list here of the 25 best episodes of Seinfeld, and I disagree with this list already. By the way, we're live in the Allstate studio here, the Showcase studio right on Michigan Avenue. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. And birthday boy, Steve Cochran at 6 this morning. It's my main man's birthday today. 76 years old today. I don't know if you knew that, Dan. Did you know that? Steve Cochran, 76.
Doesn't a day look a day over 77?
He's going to kick my ass. So happy birthday, Steve. You're the man. You're the best. We're talking about Seinfeld. And I feel I also have to, if people who don't know this aren't regular listeners, know that I never watched Seinfeld when it was on in the first run. Never. I never watched it. The only episode, I watched two episodes of Seinfeld when it was popular, when it was on in the 90s. I watched the episode where they tell the story backwards. Well, this was in the final season, so this was in 98. So I watched the episode where they were backwards, and I VCR'd the finale just because it was the biggest pop culture thing at that time. And, one of my I'll tell you something, Dan. That evening, when the finale of Seinfeld, it was May, I don't know the exact date, May of something in 1998, I was very, very proud because we thought for sure we'd have to cancel that evening's performance of the Vinyl Shop. It was sold out. And I thank VCRs for that, not necessarily the quality of the show that I co-wrote and directed, but we were convinced, like everybody was convinced, we're going to have a house of three. Everybody is at home watching Seinfeld, but we were sold out.
Another interesting tidbit about that night, I believe that was the night Frank Sinatra passed away. And Nancy Sinatra remembers it being very surreal because the ambulance was traveling through streets with no traffic because everybody was in watching.
Is that right? That sounds like the date. So what would that? Can you look up the day that Frank Sinatra passed away? May something 98, maybe May 14th, something like that.
Wow, May 14th.
Oh my God. So May 14th, that was the finale of Seinfeld. May 14th, 1998. And I watched that, and I thought it was terrible. And so I was like, I'm not gonna. This show sucks. I'm not gonna watch it. And it was on Thursday nights. I was always out. I had a play that ran on Thursday nights for a while, just on Thursday nights, called Live. And so that's where we were every Thursday night. We were performing live, and it ran for like 2 years. So I missed most of the popular run of Seinfeld, never caught up with it. And then when it got syndicated and went into reruns, especially on TBS, I started watching it, and then that was it. So I didn't start watching Seinfeld till like 2002, I want to say. 2001, 2002. So I was like 3 years behind on the whole, you know, at 3 years, like after the show was already canceled, that I started watching it. And then I watched it like five times a day, because you could watch it five times a day. You can still watch it four or five times a day, and it's on Hulu. You can watch it anytime you want. Then I became like the biggest Seinfeld fan on earth. But never was, you know, like any time in the 90s, you know, when people, it was, you know, water cooler stuff. Anytime we were out in the bar or something, we're at Simon's and somebody started talking about Seinfeld, I'd be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. They would say the name Newman, and I'd be like, I remember one night, oh, this is hilarious. I remember one night, we used to do game night at my buddy's house, and about seven or eight of us would get together, we'd get a bunch of beer, and we'd play games. And, you know, like, we'd play, you know, like Celebrity, or we'd play some of the other games. And we were playing like a word game where someone had the word. And had to give me a clue. It was like a password kind of a game that we were playing. And my partner, he had the word Serenity. And so he's like, oh, blank now. Frank Costanza says it. Blank now. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, on Seinfeld. Blank now. It's Frank Costanza. When he gets his blood pressure goes up, he has to say, blank now. And I'm like, you can do that all night. And I'm never going to guess what that is. Everybody in the room was like, what the hell? When the timer came up, everybody in the room was like, the hell is wrong with you? It's Serenity. And I'm like, I have no idea what that means. Now, if I would play that, I would scream at somebody if they didn't know it. How do you not know Serenity now? What the hell is wrong with you? All right. Let's see. We've got some people on the phone here. Here's Beverly on WGN. Hi, Beverly.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
My favorite episode was when Kramer had a kidney stone.
Oh, God, yeah.
And he went to the washroom, and he couldn't get in. It was full. So he ran through a park.
Oh, no, that's it. Beverly, you're confusing two episodes. The kidney stone episode is not the episode where he has to go to the bathroom and he's running through the park, and he gets mugged.
It is?
No, the kidney stone episode is when Jerry is dating the gymnast and they're at the circus at the end. And he goes and he passes the stone in the circus bathroom and causes the guy on the tightrope to fall because he screams so loud.
Well, what about the one he was running through the park?
Yeah, that's
Robert tried to rob him.
Yeah, that's the episode where they're auditioning for the pilot. Where he comes in to audition for the part of Kramer.
Right.
And then he has to go to the bathroom, and the bathroom in NBC is filled, and he's running to a movie theater, and they wouldn't let him in, so he's running through the park. And then, I don't know if you remember, he almost gets mugged. And then when he gets home, he said, well, it's passed. I'm not going to be able to go now. So, and then he's constipated for like 3 days. That's fantastic. Yeah.
That was a good one.
A great one.
What number was that?
That's the fourth season. That's the season where they did the whole stretch where they did the pilot for the TV show that they did with NBC. There are lots of great episodes during that season. That was like season four. So.
Oh, good, good.
Okay,
good.
Beverly, thank you, Beverly.
Thank you.
See, yeah. Beverly was getting the two episodes mixed up. The kidney stone episode. This is ridiculous. Here's Steve on WGN. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Nick. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, like you, I was the late bloomer as well. I was working nights when the show was on.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And then so I caught it on the reruns. I remember somebody came in, the staff came in, and they were going, Smoopy, Smoopy.
Yeah.
And I remember listening to it, and I'm thinking, I have no idea what you're
talking
about.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't have known that either. You know, you're Smoopy. That's the Soup Nazi episode.
Yeah, clearly missed the memo on that, but yeah. CBS was rerunning it. I also VCR'd. I have 125 episodes painfully recorded, labeled, and cared for. I'm like, oh, my God, am I the last guy on earth to know this show even exists?
Yeah.
I was so out of it.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I don't know if you, you know, Steve, I know you've this is your collection, everything, but You know, they're all available on Hulu. It's very easy to just go.
Oh,
to-
no, this is old
school. Oh, old school. The old school. Okay. Pride. All right. Okay. It's a matter of pride. I understand. I'm with you.
And not only that, I stepped into the 21st century and put those VCRs onto DVD. So I'm
you're
learning.
All set. You're all set, man.
But to the point of that, you know, you start noticing discrepancies or contradictions. Like when George mentioned he had a brother,
mm-hmm.
never saw him, never met him.
Yep.
And Jerry got the card for the pledge drive. How long do you keep a card? Oh, about 3 days.
Yeah.
And George goes, if I had a mantle growing up, I might be a different person. But yet he grabbed the statue off the mantle.
Off the mantle. That's right.
And then the low flow showerhead, Jerry Kramer had to take a bath, lying there in a tepid pool of my own filth.
Yeah.
But another episode, Kramer says he takes baths.
Exactly. I bathe. Absolutely.
So anyway, this is copious viewing. No cheating. No looking it up. This is hardcore late to the party fandom.
Yeah.
And one final one. I mentioned your producer. You watch the Hamptons one, which is a good one. You watch Rachel freeze frame it as she's getting dressed when George walks in. You'll get a laugh out of that as she pulls her pants towards her waist. And lastly, in the opposite episode, which is probably my favorite.
Mine too, Steve. My favorite episode of all time.
The girl at the counter saying, I just ordered the exact same lunch as you, is none other than the beautiful Michelle Pfeiffer daughter, Dee Dee Pfeiffer. Daughter.
Is that right?
Sister Dee Dee. Yeah, Dee Dee Pfeiffer ordered the exact same lunch as George and the opposite.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I didn't know that.
And then once I learned that later, I rewatched and I'm like, well, you can kind of see it, but it's not obvious. So that's
right.
Why it wasn't apparent to me when I first. And then finally, the race, when George walks in to Duncan and acts like he hasn't seen Jerry. And Jerry goes, yeah, I'm a comedian, George. What have you been doing? Yeah, I'm a comedian. Jerry goes, George goes, oh, you've been doing some of the, you ever notice this? You ever notice that? I always wondered, George Carlin had a skit on his 1975 album, which I would take to a desert island. I remember that skit you had, that show you had.
Yeah.
An evening with Wally Londo, and it's called Yever. So I always wondered if George Carlin and Jerry Seinfeld, very similar comedians, like noticing everyday stuff, if they were ever friends, because they were very, very similar in their.
I know their paths have crossed, for sure.
Yeah.
I know their paths have crossed. It's funny, you mentioned a couple of these things, like the one where George comes in and acts like he's not seen him. They don't know each other. He goes, boy, you really went bald, didn't you?
You used to have a full,
thick head of hair.
That's why you don't make fun of anyone like that, because now Jerry is... You know, has less and less hair, so be careful.
Be careful
who you poke fun of. That might be. And then, of course, you mentioned Junior Mitt. You had brunette Mulva.
Yeah.
And then the newly blonde Mulva, when Jerry broke off his engagement, the blonde. Jerry, I heard you were engaged.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, that Mulva is a blonde.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty good.
It's also fun to go back and watch the ones and look at all the actresses who played his girlfriends and how far they've, you know, they became, how big they became. You know, what's her name? Deborah Messing played a girlfriend of his.
Yada yada. Deborah Messing.
Yeah,
yes.
And Gilmore Girls. How the hell?
Speed Dial.
Why am I blanking on Lorelai's name? It's Alexis Bledel as Rory. Lorelai. Why am I too?
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm blanking on Lorelai's name. I am a bum. I am an absolute bum. Lauren Graham, for God's sake.
Right.
Wow. All right, Steve. It's good.
And then you notice when, at Karate, which is also a great episode.
Yeah.
When they attacked Kramer and he's trying to climb up the stairwell in the alley, that's the same stairwell, the AIDS ribbon one, where they attacked.
Oh, where they attacked for not wearing the ribbon. Who's not wearing the ribbon? Okay. All right, Steve. We could do this all morning, but I got to run.
You too, man.
Thanks, buddy.
You struck great nerve.
All right. Thanks, man. It's good to know that there are geeks like me out there who notice ridiculous details after watching every episode 500 times. All right. Let's take a break. We got weather and traffic a little late here because we were talking Seinfeld and I got a little carried away. What's going on? Wildcard Wednesday continues. Here. It's 570 area code. Think with Once You Understand. Do you know anything about Dan? What the hell's happening?
Think was a studio group put together by producers and songwriters Lou Stallman and Bobby Susser in 1971. That reached number 23 on the Billboard Hot 100.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I don't remember that at all. Okay. Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're geeking out about Seinfeld here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. We're going to go back to this list of the best episodes of Seinfeld, and we want to hear from you, your favorite moments, your favorite episode. 847 area code says Marble Rye rules. They say, isn't that lady that Jerry steals the Marble Rye from, Millie from the Dick Van Dyke Show? No, I don't think it is. It's not. She's been in a bunch of stuff, the woman who he steals the rye from. Shut up, you old bag! When he steals the Marble Rye. Great episode. 618 area code. When Kramer went to Hollywood to be a star, part two is fabulous. Yes, it's a two-part episode, and it's a great episode. 815 area code. Nick, my favorite is the marine biologist with the golf ball. That last part of that episode where George regales the story about how he had to climb up on top of the whale and remove the golf ball that Kramer hit from the blowhole of the whale. Classic. 480 says Lost in the Parking Garage. That was one of those sort of groundbreaking episodes, like the Chinese restaurant episode. Nobody had ever done anything like that before. Nobody had ever done anything like that. The entire episode was them waiting for a table in the Chinese restaurant. That was the entire episode. And that was really groundbreaking. And then they kind of did a very similar thing when the entire episode was them trying to find the car in the parking garage. 815 area code says, my favorite episode is when George loses his glasses and he gets lady frames. Yes, very good. Larry says, I love the Moyle. That's a great episode. The guy who plays the Moyle is hilarious. 773 area code says, the best scene has to be when Mr. Costanza and Elaine go at each other in the police station. You want a piece of me? Actually, 773, the best part is if you've ever seen the bloopers of that scene where Jerry Stiller and Julie Louis-Dreyfus are kind of, you know, going at each other, and Julie Louis-Dreyfus can't keep it together. Like, she loses it. Jerry Stiller never breaks. But this if you ever find it's out there. The blooper for that scene is one of the funniest things you'll ever see. Carrie says, The Stranded, where they're at a party and they can't leave because George is hitting on a woman and leaves with her. All I have to say is, I said a dingo HL baby. Interesting little tidbit about that episode, which is a terrific episode. They're stranded at a party and they have to wait for Kramer to come and pick them up. And the people who are throwing the party, it's a couple, and the male in that couple is Michael Chiklis with hair. Michael Chiklis. Commissioner Curly Belushi, as I like to call him, because he played the commish. He played Curly Howard in the Three Stooges movie, and he played John Belushi, Commissioner Curly Belushi. 630 area code. The backwards episode is something that not many have attempted before or since. Also, Mendelbaum. You got to love that. Lloyd Bridges. It's Mr. Mendelbaum. Canadian Bill says, my favorite episode is the Muffin Top and the one where Kramer gets lost in the city. He's never been, I think it, what is it? He's never been below, this is inconsistent too. He's never been below the 50s. In New York, and so like when he goes to the Lower East Side, he gets lost and freaks out, and he doesn't know where he is. Jesse says the Keith Hernandez episode and the contest. Keith Hernandez episode, the two-part Keith Hernandez boyfriend episode. I'm going to drive him to the airport. And the contest, please. What can you say? We'll talk about that one in a bit. 262 area code, Library Cop. Bookman's dialogue is the best writing. The Library Cop. You all know who played the Library Cop. Dan, you know who played the Library Cop?
I do, yes.
Yep, the great Philip Baker Hall. And he's hysterical in that episode. Gov says the calzone. Kramer pays with pennies and he slams his foot on the counter and yells a fake Italian. I die every time. That is a fantastic episode, the calzones. 608 area code. I love the one where Kramer puts the garbage disposal in his shower. And Dana says my absolute favorite is when Kramer has dental work done and he's drooling every time he drinks water. That's the Jimmy. That's the Jimmy. The episode where the guy keeps referring to himself as the Jim. Jimmy likes you. And that, oh, you know who's in that episode? In the Jimmy episode where Kramer got the dental work done? The Velvet Fog. Mel Torme is in that episode. All right. 22 on the list is the Merv Griffin show episode, which is unbelievably. Dan, have you ever seen that one?
I have, yes.
Where Kramer finds the old Merv Griffin show set, and he puts it up in his apartment and acts like he's a talk show host. All right, we're going to take a break. And then he eats, like, chips and drinks. Okay, we're back. This is a great episode. This one I'm not crazy about. They put it number 21, the nap. George is exhausted at work and realizes he can sleep under his desk. Kramer is now taking up swimming, but the local pool's not big enough, so he swims in the East River. Elaine was sent a mattress by a guy she's dating, and she gives it to Kramer, and and then she gets it back from Kramer, and it smells like the East River. Yeah, that one's not. That's one of the later episodes. That's episode. That's season 8. That's after. Larry David had left. So, all right. Okay, let's get back to that. If you guys want to jump in, 312-981-7200. Your favorite episodes of Seinfeld, and we'll get back to the list and talk more about some of the details and why some of these episodes are so great. And news is next. Yeah, man. Wild Card Wednesday continues. Yeah. 773 area code. C.W. McCall with Convoy. If you weren't around in the 70s, then you really kind of have no idea how huge the CB craze was. Ridiculous. Yeah, everybody had to have a handle, you know. All that jargon, the CB jargon was all big. Movies like Smokey and the Bandit. They actually made a movie based on the song Convoy. Sam Peckinpah directed it. Kris Kristofferson and Ally McGraw were in it. Yeah, man, I'm telling you, the 70s. Whew. All right, welcome back, everybody. Wildcard Wednesday, any artist, any song, and a thin. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And we are talking about Seinfeld and the best episodes, and we're looking at this list here that I'm kind of disagreeing with, and it's from newarena.com. They've got the best Seinfeld episodes of all time. We want to hear from you. What are your favorite moments or your favorite episodes of Seinfeld? 312-981-7200. Okay, we're moving up. Number 20 on this is the Pez Dispenser, Season 3, Episode 14. While the group is at a piano recital for George's girlfriend, Jerry pulls out his Tweety Bird Pez Dispenser. This causes Elaine to laugh uncontrollably. Kramer creates a cologne that smells like the beach. And Jerry ends up getting his friend Richard addicted to Pez. That's a very funny episode. Very funny episode, the Pez Dispenser. Number 19 is The Hot Tub, Season 7, Episode 5. Elaine has a guest who once slept in and missed the big race at the last Olympic Games. Jerry makes sure that this will not happen again. Elaine can't seem to write a new blurb for the Peterman catalog about the Himalayan walking shoes. George realizes that if you look angry at work, people will think you're busy. Kramer spends as much time as he can in his new hot tub and ends up falling asleep in it. The power goes out and Kramer spends the night in a freezing cold, causing his core temperature to melt. Yeah, that's a great episode. You just, the Jerry's subplot on that, trying to keep the runner, trying to make sure that the runner doesn't miss the Olympics. Jean-Claude is his name. That subplot is really, really funny. Now we get to number 18 on this list, which is number one on my list, and that's The Opposite. Season 5, Episode 22. Elaine gets a huge promotion. George is introduces himself to a woman by saying, "I'm unemployed and I live with my parents." And to his surprise, she agrees to date him. Elaine is evicted from her apartment building, and Jerry loses a stand-up gig. Now, there's more to it than that. The thing about The Opposite, and the reason I love it so much, one, it focuses mostly the main storyline is Costanza, and every time the storyline concerns George Costanza, it's great. Two, the whole idea of doing the absolute opposite of what your instincts are is such a hilarious idea. And it's pulled off so brilliantly and written so well. And on top of that, everybody has like really funny stuff in it. Jerry is constantly, they call him Even Steven. And throughout the entire episode, he loses something and gets something back, loses something, gets something back. He plays poker. He goes even, comes out even. And so that happens. Elaine is, slowly, her life is falling apart. She loses her promotion. She gets kicked out of her apartment. And at the end, she says that she's become George. George, because he's taken on this philosophy of knowing that every natural instinct that he has is wrong and stupid, that he does the opposite of that, and then he becomes successful. That's when he gets hired by the Yankees on that episode. By the way, Dan Paul Gleason from Trading Places and Breakfast Club. He's in it. He hires George at the Yankees. Hire this man. When Steinbrenner says hire this man, that's Paul. That's Paul Gleason, the teacher from Breakfast Club. And that's the episode where Kramer, his coffee table book comes out, and he appears on Regis and Kathy Lee, and spits coffee all over him. It's the best episode. It's the every single bit that all the main characters have works, and it's all funny, and it's all anchored by this whole opposite philosophy. I love that episode. Every time it's on, I just go nuts. I love it, and I know every line of it. Next on the list is The Butter Shave, Season 9, Episode 1. George and Jerry both have, they've grown mustaches. Well, they shave it after the first scene. Kramer discovers that butter is better to shave with than shaving cream. Kramer spends too much time in the sun, and Newman questions if he's a cannibal. That's the creepy one where there's a real creepy moment in that one where, because Kramer's been shaving with, he's using butter instead of shaving cream, so he's been shaving with butter, so he's covering his whole face, and then he falls asleep, he's covered in butter, and he falls asleep sunbathing, and cooks. He actually cooks. So like you can, so Kramer or Newman starts to freak out a little bit and like want to actually physically eat Kramer. And at one point he looks at a turkey, like Newman looks at a turkey, there's a turkey, and Kramer's head is where the turkey's head should be, and he flaps his wings and he goes, "Hey buddy." And it's really disturbing. It's like a really disturbing image of Kramer like as a toasted skinned turkey. Number 16 is The Bizarro Jerry. This is one of my favorite episodes. Season 8, Episode 3, Jerry convinces Elaine that her boyfriend is the Bizarro version of himself. Kramer accidentally gets a job he's not qualified to be a part of, and he's a part of staff meetings, and Jerry begins dating a girl with man hands. All good. All solid. The Bizarro world is just, it's great. 15 is The Voice, and this is Season 9, Episode 2. There's a lot of late season episodes on this list. George has pretended to be handicapped while he's at his job. His employees understandably hate him. He gets busted. He has a one-year contract, so he does the bare minimum. Kramer hires an intern from NYU to just hang out in the apartment. And Elaine makes a bet with Jerry that she will no longer see Putty. And then we have The Pen, an early episode. That's number 14. Jerry and Elaine visit Jerry's parents in Florida. His parents' friends come over for dinner. Jerry compliments Jack Klompas on his pen. And you can write upside down. He mentions that the pen was used, that astronauts used it. Jerry's parents are furious for taking the pen. Elaine sweats profusely while sleeping on the pullout couch in the living room. And she also takes, like, painkillers, like muscle relaxers, and gets loaded on them. And then start screaming, "Stella!" at like an event where they're supposed to be. Norm's very funny Julie Louis-Dreyfus stuff in that one. So at 13 is The Muffin Tops. George and Jerry are walking down the street when a tourist hands George a suitcase, asks him to watch it. After some time, George takes the suitcase, starts wearing the guy's clothes, and it's stereotypical tourist clothes. He starts dating a woman. Yeah, he starts dating a woman from the New York Visitor Center. And he pretends that he's from out of town. And because she says that New York will eat him up, even though he lives in New York. And she's like, "You're not going to last. You would never last in New York." So he actually moves everything. He pretends that he just moved into his apartment. So he boxes everything up just so he thinks that he's moved to New York. He wants to impress this woman. and then they make the muffin tops. They do the whole muffin tops for Elaine and Mr. Lippman, open up the shop. And then that's also the one where Jerry shaves his chest and starts to his hair grows back, and he just goes nuts and begins shaving. And that's where Kramer is driving around giving people a tour of the real Kramer in his bus. And you know the guy who's based on, there's a real guy that's based on Kramer. And he was Larry David's neighbor. He was based on this guy. That guy in New York does do those tours. Like, he puts people in a bus and drives them around and says, "This is where the real Kramer did this and the real Kramer did that." So they put that in the episode. And then the next one is The Invitations. This is the one where Susan dies. And one of the darkest endings I've ever seen ever was their reaction to it. Have you ever seen that episode, Dan? Where Susan, she licks the envelopes, the glue is poison, and she dies?
I did not.
You ever see that one, Esmeralda?
I have, yeah.
And it's that, so, it was the, in the ending of that, where they just like, so she's dead, huh? Wow. Want to go for coffee? It's like, I remember watching it, like, not believing, and then, I don't know if you guys remember, but it was, that's dark enough, where they're like, well, okay, she's dead, let's go to Monk's and get some, let's get some coffee. But I don't know if you guys remember the postscript for the credits. George immediately calls Marissa Tomei because she's dead now, and he's got, because Marissa, he finds out that Marissa Tomei likes, you know, likes that type, like, you're exactly Marissa Tomei's, and Marissa Tomei's in the show, and you know, she's interested in dating George. Marissa Tomei is the actress. Marissa Tomei is interested in dating George, but he can't because he's engaged. And when Susan dies, he goes home and immediately calls Marissa Tomei and is like, "Hey, would you like to get together?" And she's like, "Well, you're free." He's like, "Yeah, well, listen, I have the funeral tomorrow, but I'm free after that." I'm free after that. Like, oh my God. One of the darkest endings that they've ever had. It's similar to Frank Grimes in that regard. You know what I mean? Where it's like, man, these characters are just behaving despicably. It's similar to the ending of Frank Grimes. And you know why? You know why they killed off Susan? Jason Alexander couldn't work with the actress anymore. He's like, I can't work with her because Larry David killed her off because nobody wanted to work with her. And so George had to work with her all the time. Heidi, I can't remember. She was in what was the Charlie Sheen takeoff on Top Gun? Oh, Hot Shots. She was in Hot Shots, and she had a role in Hot Shots. Heidi something is her name, and
Swedberg.
Heidi Swedberg, and Jason Alexander constantly complained about working with her because her style was completely different. She was really kind of annoying and like, she very demanding and very, very, very hard to work with. So Jason Alexander would constantly complain, and everybody was like, just shut up, until they had to work with her. So then, like, Jerry had scenes with her, and Julie Louis-Dreyfus finally had to work with her, and they were like, yeah, you got to get rid of her. So Larry David's like, all right, I'm going to kill her off in this episode. She'll just lick some envelopes and die, and we'll kill her off. That's exactly what they did. They killed her off because the actors didn't like working with the actress. Oh, ridiculous. All right. Hey, we got a break here. We got weather and we got traffic. Welcome back. Wildcard Wednesday. And this is the song that proves Allison, Alanis Morissette doesn't know what ironic means. Stephen, Pennsylvania. What the hell? Alanis Morissette with ironic. I was working at Ginger's Ale House when that album was big. And it was on the jukebox. Every 14 seconds, somebody would play a song off of that damn album. Didn't somebody do another version? Didn't somebody... Did she re-record this? Didn't Alanis Morissette re-record it, like maybe within the last couple of years, and correct the fact that that she doesn't understand what the word ironic means? Wasn't there something like that? Or
she did something on Corden Show, I want to say. I'm trying to look it up.
Oh, that's probably what it was. Yeah, but it was like... Wasn't it her kind of acknowledging that she's got it all wrong in the song? Like, there's nothing ironic about anything that happens in the song?
I mean, I think they might have had him be her, and she probably popped up in it.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it looks like they just did, like, an updated, like, 2000s version.
Oh, okay. So,
things that would be more applicable to millennials like that.
All right. Well, you know, it's apropos that Corden would be involved, because the video takes place in a car singing.
Right.
So that's why it would make sense that Corden was the one to do it. Hey, have we ever had, has Skip Skipley ever given us a quiz on
you know, Skip has mentioned to me that that's not one of the cards available, surprisingly enough.
How is that possible? How can you not? Because that was
the most iconic pop-up video.
One of the most one of the most popular pop-up videos of all time is ironic.
Skip should pull some strings.
He can pull all strings because he's Skip Skipley.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe write that card from scratch.
Yeah.
You tell Flip that.
To Skip.
Or to Skip.
And then he'll flip.
Well, no, he'll tell his brother Flip.
Right.
Or wait, what was his brother's name?
Flip and Dip.
Flip and Dip. Flip and Dip.
Yeah.
They don't like dip very much.
Well, of course. Who does?
Well, it depends.
You met the guy?
I like spinach dip. All right. Number 11 on the list is the Marble Rye. Number 10, the Andrea Doria. That's where Kramer ends up on dog medication. let's see. Number 9 is The Fire. This is a very funny episode. It's the episode where George is dating Melanie Chartoff from Fridays, who used to be on Fridays with Michael Richards and Larry David, the ripoff of Saturday Night Live. It was on in the early 80s. He's dating her, and she's got a kid, and there's a birthday party, and they hire a clown. The clown is played by Jon Favreau. This is when nobody knew who Jon Favreau was. And there's a fire in the apartment, and he pushes, like, everybody, all the old women and kids out of the way so we can get out of the apartment first, George does. The Subway, this is an episode where all four of them are on the subway, and they have a different adventure. Jerry ends up sitting around with a naked guy. Number 7 is The Contest, which is one of the greatest episodes in television history. And they never once in that episode, never once say the word masturbate. Never once. And they were convinced, Larry David was convinced that NBC was going to never allow them to air the episode. Not only did they air it, but that was right around the time when the show took off. It was like when that episode happened, that was when it all really kind of took off. We mentioned The Chinese Restaurant. Number 5 is The Soup Nazi, legendary. Number 4 is The Parking Garage. Number 3 is The Wait Out. And that's the episode where Kramer wears really, really, at one point he wants to wear jeans again, but they're too tight on him, and he can't take them off. And so he's walking like Frankenstein, and he scares a kid who thinks it's Frankenstein. Ridiculous. Number 2 on this list is the Fusilli Jerry, which, of course, is legendary because Kramer goes to the DMV to pick up his license plate for his car, and it's a vanity plate that says Ass Man. And he's like, I'm not the Ass Man. And they're like, well, according to the records here, you are the Ass Man. And then you find out that those plates actually belong to a proctologist. And then Frank Costanza ends up with a Fusilli Jerry up his butt. And then number 1, they say, is the puffy shirt with the low talker puffy shirt. And that's where George becomes a hand model. So that's a great episode. A lot of these are really good choices. Some not so much. But I still say the opposite's the best one. All right, a few more texts here. 847 area code Festivus. That is a classic episode. 412 area code The Kenny Rogers Chicken Roasters is the best. That's a great episode, too. Eric in Sycamore says, whenever somebody does something clumsy around me, I tell them, and you want to be my latex salesman. Oh, man. And Kramer, the road stripes, the fire truck, and the Rusty the Horse. Rusty the Horse, who he feeds Beefarino, which is obviously Beefaroni, but they can't use the brand name. Mm-hmm. So he feeds him a giant can of Beefarino, and the horse has a horrible case of flatulence. And then John in Granger says, when Kramer had to apologize to the chimp. You ever see that episode, Esmeralda?
I don't think so.
Where the chimp throws something at him, and he throws something back, and then the people working at the zoo were like, you have to go apologize to that chimp. Since Kramer apologizing to a chimp. The whole scene. So, all right. Well, there you go. You can check out that list. It's on our Facebook page. If you agree or disagree, it's facebook.com/NickTShow. And there you go. Hey, Esmeralda.
Yes.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Yes.
I believe Skip Skipley is going to fly in. So, on tomorrow's show. And we're also going to talk all about hot dogs.
We'll have to tell him about the ironic thing.
Yeah, exactly. Get him busy.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, and the news is next.